providing you with informative and entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. One of the leading political figures among Shia Muslims in Iraq is reportedly dead today after a car bomb rocked one of that nation's holiest shrines earlier. Shia leaders say Ayatollah Mohammed Bakir al-Hakim was considered crucial to making Iraq a democracy. He was among at least 20 other people killed in today's blast. Also in Iraq today, the U.S. military says an American soldier was killed and three others were wounded when their convoy was attacked by Iraqi guerrillas with rocket-propelled grenades. A Jewish settler is dead and his wife is wounded after an ambush by a Palestinian gunman on a West Bank road earlier. Today's incident is just the latest instance of violence since the collapse of a truce last week between Israel and several militant groups. Israel Foreign Minister Sylvan Shalom is holding the Palestinian Authority responsible for today's attack.
And it means that the Palestinians even now are not willing to do anything to put an end to the terrorism here in our region.
A suicide bombing in Jerusalem just 10 days ago also killed 21 people. Shalom is calling on Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas and his government to, quote, dismantle the infrastructure of terrorist organizations. North Korea is telling officials participating in talks this week about its nuclear weapons program it could soon declare itself a nuclear power. That's just one of the details emerging today from talks this week between Pyongyang and five other nations being held in Beijing, China. U.S. officials participating in those discussions say the North has also claimed it might even test an atomic bomb very soon. But Russia's representative at the talks is playing down that report. The Interfax news agency quotes the Russian foreign minister as saying those statements do not conform to reality. Russia believes North Korea only has components for making a nuclear weapon and is therefore not ready for an actual test. Today's revelations come after 3 days of talks on the crisis concluded, with an agreement that there will be another meeting held sometime in the next 2 months.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all, just because I look like, doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Many more female cadets at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs may have been victims of sexual misconduct than previously thought. That's one of the findings in a preliminary report from the Pentagon's Inspector General looking into alleged sexual assaults at the Academy. NBC News says almost 400 of the 659 female cadets at the school say they've experienced sexual harassment. Authorities have a tip now that could lead them to the bodies of two New Hampshire children they believe were murdered by their father. Officials say they'll look in an area off I-80 near Toledo, Ohio, for the remains of 14-year-old Sarah Gehring and her 11-year-old brother Philip.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The French government now says 11,435 people died as a result of this month's massive heat wave, but insists those numbers are still only provisional. France's largest undertakers group, meanwhile, is putting the number at actually at least 13,000, saying many victims of the heat wave might be buried in unmarked graves. The latest on the story from correspondent Nina Maria Potts.
While France's Surgeon General resigned over the biggest public health scandal in the country's history, the French health minister has resisted calls to step down. The French government government is under fire from doctors and the opposition for its handling of the crisis. Most of the dead were elderly. August is traditionally a holiday month in France, leading to the slow response to the crisis by health services and the government. France is requesting aid from the European Union to deal with the effects of the heat wave, while the head of the Union of Emergency Doctors in France says people are still dying. Nina Maria Potts reporting.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh no, one size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from outer space on the Sirius satellite, and broadcasting live on the web from ieamericaradio.com, radiopower.org, live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. Can we reverse the damage that George Bush and his cronies are doing to democracy in his efforts to get elected in 2004? Our question for this hour. Martin Luther King, our quote for the day. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And this is just a remarkable quote. I want to come back to it in some detail here in a few minutes. But last week or the week before, we had on this program Brett Bercy, who down in South Carolina. This was on August 12th, he was on the program, down in South Carolina, was arrested for refusing to go to a free speech zone cage and was charged with trespassing. And then the state dropped those charges, and the U.S. Justice Department brought new charges of threatening the president. He's facing hard time in jail and a substantial fine for standing outside a building where the president was speaking in a, before even the president had arrived, as I recall, in a public area, with a sign of sorts. Brett, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. We're trying to bring a little light to the darkness of George Bush's rolling back the constitutional rights in America.
There you go. What did your sign say, Brett?
No war for oil.
No war for oil. And that sign was a threat to the president?
What we have determined is that George Bush has implemented a practice and a policy to use the Secret Service, and the Secret Service then uses local law enforcement to ensure that there's nobody that can be visibly associated with protesting any policies that the president has within eyesight or within frame of the president. So the result
of what the SS did with
that, everybody in the world, every picture you ever see of George Bush is with adoring masses. And so one would presume then that everybody supports the president's policies. We actually have, in preparation for my trial, we've gotten two affidavits from police officers in other states where Bush came to town, and these officers testified that the Secret Service ordered them, and one of them used the term "no protesters within eyesight," and the other used the term that there would be no protesters allowed to be visible. And people are being identified by the content of either the message, what they're saying, or the content of their signs, and rounded up and put in these free speech zones that are designed to be out of sight of the media, out of sight of the general public, out of sight of George Bush.
Right.
We had a hearing yesterday.
This is what the SS did in conjunction with the Stasi in the Third Reich. So yesterday you went to court.
Yeah, and it's also what the Republican Guard did in Baghdad for Saddam.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a hearing, pre-trial hearing yesterday. We'd filed motions for discovery. We asked simply that the government give us the maps and the memoranda showing how, who, and the rationale behind where a restricted zone was and where the free speech zone was. And the government's response was that there is no such evidence, and if there is, it's classified. And yesterday, a federal judge agreed with us and said he was incredulous that there was nothing in writing and ordered the government to give all files to him by Tuesday, and he will decide whether it's classified or not. So
that's great.
A little victory, and we got a trial date of November 12th.
This is a federal judge?
Well, he's a U.S. magistrate in federal court here in Columbia, South Carolina.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Brett, it sounds like things are moving along. I mean, we need to get you in more national media. Have you contacted CNN?
Well, they contacted us, but then decided not to do a piece because they couldn't get anybody from Strom Thurmond Jr.'s office. Strom Thurmond Jr. is the inherited the U.S. attorney's seat as a going-away present for his dad. And so if the government won't talk, CNN doesn't want to talk to one side. So if anybody out there has got connections with CNN, tell them they need to pick up on this story.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, everybody who's listening ought to call CNN and tell them they should pick up on this story, because this is one of the big issues of our day, whether or not the First Amendment is going to survive the assaults of this administration and these free speech zones that they've been throwing up since the year 2001 around George Bush and Dick Cheney and other members of the administration whenever they speak, where they herd protesters into areas sometimes a mile away from where the speech is being given so that they have these beautiful photo opportunities. This is a crime. This is an absolute crime. And Brett, thanks for the. Do you have a website? Is there some way that people can find out more?
Yeah, we do. People can keep up with what's going on, and they can make a donation if they want to the cause at www.sc is in South Carolina. scpronet.com.
Okay. ProNet. I'm trying to write here. www.sc as in South Carolina, pro as in protest, net as in network.com. scpronet.
That's it.
Okay, great. Brett, thank you very much for being on our program, and let us know when the next thing happens here. I guess it's going to be Tuesday you're going to find out, right?
Well, Tuesday they're going to give stuff to the judge, and the judge is going to decide whether it's threatens national security or not, and the judge agreed before he lets us see it to have a conference with the Secret Service to give them the opportunity to explain the security ramifications of anything he would release to us. But we're getting closer. We're getting closer. And
great.
We feel that the dots we're connecting are leading right up to the White House.
Yeah. Brett, in our chat room, some of the folks were asking, you know, what's the phone number for CNN? One of them found the website, cnn.com/feedback/, for feedback. And one of them wanted to know for sure how to spell your last name, which is Bursey.
Correct.
Is that right? It's Brett, Brett Bursey, Bursey. And in Strom Thurmond is the federal prosecutor?
Strom Thurmond is the U.S. attorney.
U.S. attorney in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Right. And, well, in fact, somebody just came into the chat room and dropped the exact feedback link. That's great. Okay. Brett, thank you very much. Keep us up to date.
I will, Tom. I appreciate you being there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to follow this right through. I want to make sure that our listeners know what's going on, and hopefully other media will pick this up. We have had other media pick things up from this program, so hopefully this will be one of them.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brett. Do good. Talk to you soon. Okay. www.scpronet.com, Brett Bercy. Today, can we reverse the damage that George Bush is doing to democracy and his efforts to get elected? I started to say reelected. He was never elected in 2000. To get reelected in 2004? Or to get elected in 2004? Can we reverse the damage? I think we can if we get the right person in office. It's interesting. Somebody, twice today, I got emails from folks saying, look at this website. This proves that Howard Dean is a bad guy. And I hate to sound like this is the Howard Dean show. I mean, if any of the other Democrats were out there saying things that were generating this kind of controversy, I would be talking about them, too. And we have begged Dennis Kucinich to come on this program, and he's not available to us, or anybody from his staff, and any of the other Democratic candidates I would love to have on this program. I would absolutely love to have them on. But for some reason, I think to give them credit, I think what's happening is that they're trying to focus their efforts on the media in the communities or in the states where they're actually facing these primaries. So, anyhow, two of these emails came in, and pointing to this website where this guy, here's the theme of it. This guy walks up to a pro-Dean guy and says, at a Starbucks or something, the guy's passing out Dean pamphlets, and he says, I understand you think that Dean's, foreign policy, that we should be involved in Liberia, but not Iraq. And the guy says, yeah, it's a humanitarian need. There's people dying over there. Of course we should be involved. He said, didn't you think that we should go into World War II? And this guy who wrote this article says, no, I don't think we should have gone into World War II. And his criticism of Dean is that Dean is an internationalist. It was the Republicans in the 1940s who were just screaming about Roosevelt, about Franklin Delano Roosevelt going, and his plans to have another Democrat war after World War One, and as to quote Bob Dole, I mean, it's so ironic. The Republicans say, the Democrats, they don't know anything about national security. They couldn't run a war if they had to. And then Bob Dole says, well, let's see, World War One and World War Two, those were the Democrat wars, weren't they? They really want to have it both ways. Speaking of having it both ways, I read to you yesterday from the email that the campaign for George W. Bush, georgewbush.com, I think was the website, is sending out. And today in the Burlington Free Press, an AP story by Sharon Thimer, Bush pleads poverty in fundraising email. And she took this a step beyond what I did. I just read the thing to you and said, isn't this outrageous? She actually contacted the Dean campaign to ask for a response. Because here's what she, quoting from the letter, quote, Democrats and their allies will have more money to spend attacking the president during the nomination battle than we will have to defend him, end quote, wrote the chairman of the campaign. And this is the kind of lie that's very similar to the lie that George Bush told when he was debating Al Gore, when he turned to Al Gore and with a straight face said, you have outspent me and you're going to outspend me in this campaign. And it was a lie. Bush outspent Gore by millions, tens of millions. My recollection is it was $50 million in the 2000 election. It may have not have been quite that much. I don't have the number right in front of me, but I know it was substantial. And he also had, as of that point, it was in the papers the next day. But nobody really called Bush on it. Bush can lie, doesn't matter. Al Gore says he invented the Internet, big deal. Turns out, Al Gore never said he invented the Internet. This was a myth that was created by the Republicans. Seriously. Joe Connison talks about this in his new book, Big Lies, which is a marvelous book. I've been reading it every night. We had Joe on the show last week, and I got the book, and I've been reading through it. So anyhow, Bush has set several fundraising records, including the most collected for a presidential primary campaign and the most raised at a single event. And then the fundraising letter says, it goes after Howard Dean, goes on to attack Dean. And actually, I kind of thought it was kind of cool, the quotes. But let me share them with you right after this break, these quotes that they attributed to Howard Dean, and then what the Dean campaign had to say in response. This is really good. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffen's Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tell me you love.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. One of the folks in our chat room, Examine Reality, says, is there a link for more info on Brett Bercy? And, yeah, he gave us his website, www.sc, as in South Carolina, pro, as in protest, net, as in network.com, www.scpronet.com. And so I hope that helps. Back to George Bush and his plea of poverty. In his emailing, in his fundraising email, the campaign manager says, former Governor Howard Dean stated that Bush might suspend the 2004 election, called Bush reckless and despicable, compared him to the Taliban, and said Bush was trying to destroy Social Security, Medicare, public schools, and public services. So they asked the Dean campaign, did he really say this? Asked if the comments attributed to Dean were accurate, Dean spokeswoman Tricia Enright was incredulous. Compared him to the Taliban? Absolutely not. Suspend the 2004 election? What is that about? She said. He did say that Bush's tax policies were reckless. But according to this fundraising letter, from this lying Bush campaign, they said that Bush said the Dean said that Bush was reckless. I'm just over it. It's time to call these people on their lies. And not to use nice words. Oh, he misspoke. He's been misspeaking since he first ran for governor. Enough. I will call him reckless. Remarkable. So some of the email we have today, referring to our program yesterday, we got an email here from Michael in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He says the number one reason why a progressive taxation system, this is what I love about doing this show. There are so many people out there who are wiser and smarter than I am who respond. And I learn doing this. This is great. Michael, Mike, thanks for this. He says, the number one reason why a progressive taxation system is required is because it's good for the economy. It's good for the economy because of the principle of the marginal propensity to consume. A brilliant insight provided by John Maynard Keynes. Now, I knew this stuff had come from Keynes. I didn't know this great phrase, the marginal propensity to consume. And Mike explains it. He says, basically, as an individual's income rises, their marginal propensity to consume decreases. That would be their marginal desire to buy stuff, right, to consume. For example, if you give somebody making $30,000 a year and somebody making $100,000 a year an additional dollar of income, the person making $30,000 a year will spend a higher percentage of that dollar in the economy than the person making $100,000. By capturing that revenue, and this is what I was talking about yesterday, about the wealthy, if you give them tax cuts, they will invest it. If you and the Republicans say, well, yeah, and they'll invest it in the economy. Well, no, not necessarily. They'll probably invest it in buying bonds or in the stock market. And when you buy stock in the stock market, you are not giving money to corporations. You are buying that stock from some other stock trader. You're participating in a market in and of itself, but it's not. Anyhow, he says, by capturing that revenue, the government, which has a very high MPC, that is a marginal propensity to consume, can then spend on the people and thus improve the economy. I don't think that it's a coincidence that economic growth and income inequality have fallen as we have moved away from Keynesian economics to those of Milton Friedman. I think that liberals, progressives in the U.S. need to undertake a campaign to explain the benefits of Keynesian policy, which Kennedy was an advocate of, by the way, and blast the followers of Friedman. Use historical evidence, and you can come up with great radio and TV ads promoting the cause. Economic security and justice affects so many other facets of society, health, crime, education, that it must come to the forefront of all discussions regarding the future of our country, of your country. Mike being a Canadian, and spot on, Mike, thank you very much. We have Ben in Illinois on the line, but Ben, we've got a break coming up here. If you can hang on, we'll take your call right after the break. This is Tom Hartman Talk Radio for the rest of us. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
For the second year in a row, the White House wants to slash annual pay increases for civilian employees of the federal government. In a letter to congressional leaders on Wednesday, George W. Bush cited a national emergency as his reason for limiting raises for 1.2 million government employees to just 2%, rather than the usual 4.1%.
Federal employees are working class people by and large, and that extra money in their pocket is something they really need to put food on the table and buy clothes for their kids to go back to school and pay their mortgages and their car payments and what have you.
Jackie Simon is public policy director for the American Federation of Government Employees, the largest union of federal workers. She's worried not only about Bush's proposal to roll back pay raises, but also his proposal to set aside $500 million for a pay-for-performance system.
He's trying to create this slush fund with $500 million in it that'll allow political appointees to hand out additional raises and bonuses to anybody they think is doing a good job with the president's political agenda.
A similar bid last year to roll back government employee raises was defeated in Congress.
A Dutch supermarket and retail store conglomerate, already mired in a $1 billion accounting fraud scandal, is now in serious trouble in the Czech Republic. State labor inspectors there have discovered that the Royal Ahold Company, which does business in the Czech Republic with its Hypernova and Albert stores, kept two sets of books on its workforce. One showed all workers were paid their rightful amounts for the hours they worked, but the other showed a regular and ongoing refusal to pay anyone for overtime. The inspectors say Ahold is but the worst of what is a common violation estimated to affect 3 out of every 4 Czech workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Say it, say it, say it. Tell it like it is. What breaks your heart? What keeps you?
So, amazing. Can we reverse the damage George Bush is doing to democracy in his efforts to get elected in 2004? Is it possible? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Ben in Illinois is on the phone. Ben, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey there, Tom.
Hey, Ben.
You know, it occurs to me that that little fundraising letter is a very interesting psychological study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see that as being pure projection. Here he is accusing Dean of the very things that I think he's actually thinking of doing.
Or already doing.
Or already doing. You know, I recall from reading, you know, a lot of Nazi propaganda years ago when I was, my German was better, you know, World War, pre-World War II propaganda. The Nazis did similar things to their critics.
Sure. Yeah.
They would accuse their critics of accusing them of the very things they were doing.
Well, it's a very, it's an old and well-used tactic. For example, the Reich, the right in the United States, the cons, have been using that for years by accusing those on the left of trying to generate class warfare when they actually declared class warfare during the Reagan administration.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, my thought is if in fact there are elections, you know, called off or obviously rigged, next year, there is one and only one remedy available to us as ethical human beings, and that is we need to get about 10 million of us descend on Washington, D.C., and make sure nothing moves in that city until he steps down.
Well, that I have a feeling would be met with force, but
it will be met with force. I expect to see a million of us dead if we do that.
Yeah, I think we'd win. I still think that we can do this at the ballot box, and even with the electronic voting machines and everything else, my experience is that there are so many people in America who understand democracy, who care about it. This archetype is just burned into our souls, Ben. I don't think that we're going to easily give up.
I hope not. You know, interestingly, my sister who has been she even has a Republican ornament on her Christmas tree, you know.
A
Republican Christmas ornament.
Oh my!
With the GOP symbol on it and everything.
Yeah, isn't that?
I have looked for opportunities to swipe it off the tree every year. But
I'm not sure a Democratic ornament on the Christmas tree would be that much better, Ben.
No. I'm just thinking, you know, it doesn't belong there. She tells me she doesn't think she can ever vote for a Republican again, and she's turning to a Libertarian.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this
I'm encouraging that because that's half a vote.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday. I think that there are a lot of Republicans now. Some who we know. I mean, you know, friends of ours who I reasonable, you know, what do you call them? Rockefeller Republicans, Nelson Rockefeller Republicans, which is basically the Republican Party in Vermont. I mean, you know, Jim Jeffords represented the Republican Party in Vermont. And he finally reached a point where he said, enough, I've had it, that's it, I'm out of here. And, you know, he's still in the Senate. But, you know, so most of the Republicans in Vermont are fairly rational. We have our share of extremists, but even our governor right now seems to be a reasonably rational guy. There's a lot of things he's doing I don't agree with, but he's not as toxic a Republican as most of them. And the word that I'm hearing from people, you know, I mean, just, you know, meeting people at the coffee shop kind of thing, you know, just casual acquaintances in town, people I know from living here and who are Republicans, and they say, you know, we will work to reelect our Republican governor, who won, by the way, with only 40-some-odd percent of the vote because the Democrat vote was split with the progressive vote here.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, they say, you know, we'll vote to reelect him because he's not nuts, but we're not going to vote. We're not going to work to reelect George Bush. We're very worried. And when I hear Republicans, and I have heard more than one, I've heard a number of them tell me that they're worried about George Bush, worried about the direction this country is going in, worried about the future of our nation with this administration. It gives me even more hope that people, regardless of whether they call themselves Republicans or Democrats, get it, that what this administration is doing is anti-democratic. It is not pro-freedom. It is not pro-liberty. It is essentially fascistic in its core. It is frightened and angry in its heart. And it is not good for the United States.
No, it's absolutely the worst thing that could ever have happened to us.
Yep. Ben, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your sharing your thoughts with us. At $800 each, the stun gun belt is the closest thing to a fashion craze in the correctional field, says Jonathan Turley in an article in the Washington Post yesterday, Torture at the Push of a Button. Our question, can we reverse the damage Bush is doing to democracy in his efforts to get elected in 2004? This is I mean, it echoes down. You know, the whole mindset echoes down. Bush is finding police departments all over the country that are perfectly willing to round up protesters and put them in chain-link cages that are called free speech zones a half a mile away from where he's speaking so that the CNN camera will never see them. He's perfectly willing to do that, and he finds that the local police departments are perfectly willing to go along with it. Why? Because the mentality is filtering down from the top. And here now we see John Allen Muhammad, one of these snipers in Washington, D.C., an absolutely despicable human being, if ever there was. He was taken to a hospital to get a medical test. He and his attorney had agreed to get an MRI. And then they said, now we're going to give you an X-ray. And he said, I don't think that my attorney has agreed to that. And the cop who had him in custody hit the button on this remote control thing, and Muhammad gets a 50,000 volt, 8-second shock, throws him to the floor screaming and voiding in his pants. Last spring, Wisconsin, now, as I said, you know, I don't have much sympathy for this guy, but I don't remember when we sanctioned torture as an instrument of public policy in the United States. Just like with the Nazis, when you start stepping over the line, usually you start stepping over the line with bad people. But that's not where you stop. Again, from the Washington Post, last spring, Washington sheriffs held a public display to show the media how harmless tasers and stun belts are by shocking one of their own deputies, appropriately named Chris Bolt, B-O-L-D-T. Bolt was hit with a 5-second jolt and was sent to the hospital with a head wound after he hit the floor. The increasing use of stun belts in the United States has alarmed some of our closest friends internationally. Stun belts have been defined as a torture device by Amnesty International, which describes them as cruel, inhumane, and degrading. The United Nations Committee Against Torture has objected that they violate the Geneva Convention. But John Ashcroft has these in most of the federal courts now. That's me speaking, not the Washington Post. Back to the Washington Post. Indeed, the stun belt's ability to, quote, humiliate the wearer, end quote, is cited as a, quote, great advantage, end quote, by one company's literature, impressing on a defendant that, quote, the mere push of a button in someone else's hands could make you defecate and urinate yourself, end quote. Promises guards, quote, total psychological supremacy over inmates, end quote. An inmate's failure to yield can enrage a guard and easily lead to such, quote, corrective action, end quote. And in this article in the Washington Post, the author, who is the Shapiro Professor of Public Interest Law and directs a prison program at George Washington Law School, says, the use of a stun belt on Muhammad appears abusive and should be investigated as a potential case of criminal assault. In the United States, a prisoner cannot be physically attacked for a refusal to submit to a medical test. These are the cracks in the wall of justice in the United States, and we have to do something about these cracks. The Guardian. This was a couple of months ago. Julian Borger in Washington, a reporter for The Guardian in England, writes, Ashcroft drawn into row over September 11. The row over whether the September 11 attacks could have been averted has begun to focus on the U.S. Attorney General, who is accused of playing down the terrorist threat in the first months of the Bush administration. Now, John Ashcroft has been doing this song and dance this last week, where he's traveling around the country, refusing to make public his schedule, speaking mostly to large groups of carefully selected Republican donors, campaign contributors, and law enforcement officers to pitch the Victory Act. He's calling it the Victory Tour, this next incarnation in the Patriot Act, and to tell people why the Patriot Act is so important. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to get to another story that talks about how this is a violation of federal law. It's against the law. For the executive branch, there's this thing called the separation of powers. It's against the law for the executive branch to lobby for legislation before the legislative branch. It is a federal crime. And there are many who suggest that John Ashcroft is doing that right at this moment, engaging in criminal activity. And why? Why is he hiding this stuff? Well, it turns out that maybe he has a lot to hide. that before 9/11, he diverted resources from measures to prevent terrorism so that he could fight his war on drugs and pornography. In the late 90s, the threat of a terrorist attack on U.S. soil became a near obsession in the Clinton administration, particularly in the Justice Department under Janet Reno, but her successor had other ideas. On September 10th of last year, the day before 9/11, Mr. Ashcroft sent a request for budget increases to the White House. It covered 68 programs, not one of them related to counterterrorism. He sent a memorandum to his heads of department stating his seven priorities. Counterterrorism was not on the list. He even turned down an FBI request for hundreds more agents to be assigned to tracking terrorist threats, all before 9/11. On the other hand, when they started hearing in May, June, and July, that a terrorist attack was coming to the United States by way of airplane, and yes, this is now part of the congressional record. I mean, this is not in dispute. John Ashcroft stopped flying on commercial jets and started flying only on private jets. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is our number, and Glenn in Tulsa is on the line. Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Glenn.
I came in, sat down, and the first thing I heard was you talking about the stun gun, and it just reminded me of the whole danger about fundamentalism in all its forms in every country, and no matter what your politics are, as the worst crimes can be perpetrated against those others, as long as we label them the other, you know, the evil ones or the hardened criminals, you know, the repeat offenders. We have all these names for the others that we can do these horrible things to with no guilty conscience whatsoever. It's just, I mean, if you're this fundamentalist mindset, it's just disgusting.
Well, that's half of it, Glenn. Half of it is objectifying somebody else, turning them into an object, something less than an enemy combatant. It's not a human being. It's not a defendant that perhaps the rest of us could identify with at some level anyway. But, you know, everybody's had a parking ticket or traffic ticket or whatever. But the second step is having a righteous cause. If you look at the history of the world, the most heinous crimes were committed in the name of a righteous cause. Hitler was cleansing Europe to prepare for 1,000 years of peace. That's what the Third Reich was about. It was 1,000 years of peace. They were burning women at the stake in Europe in the 1400s, 1500s to cleanse Europe of satanic influence, to get rid of the witches. The same thing in the United States, the Salem witch trials, executing women because they were possessed. We are doing a noble thing. We are cleansing the world of evil. Whenever people talk about cleansing the world of evil, you got to watch out, because it's the noble causes, Glenn, that are the ones in the name of which the greatest and most horrific crimes have been perpetrated in the history of the human race.
Yeah, it's that righteous
indignation.
Yeah, gene that they seem to have somewhere. You know, they can be the righteous ones, and that makes everyone else unrighteous or guilty. Yeah. By, you know, and if you're a fundamentalist Christian, of course, you're born guilty. You know, you're guilty. You don't even have a chance out of the gate. You're guilty in a sinner.
Well, not just
that.
The Christians. It's not just the Christians. That's you'll find that in Islam and in Judaism as well.
Yeah, there must be some dirty trick they're playing on you when they say, now you don't know it yet, but you're really bad to start with, and you need us in order to get better.
Yeah, well, it's a good marketing ploy.
Right.
No, seriously.
Yeah. 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 Well, they have to create need, don't they?
Yeah.
They have to create need.
Good point, Glenn.
All right,
thanks for calling and sharing that with us. And, you know, I appreciate your call. The Mr. Ashcroft stopped flying on commercial flights in July as the intelligence chatter about a possible al-Qaeda strike on U.S. soil was getting louder. And even since 9/11, he's been accused, this is from The Guardian, of putting ideology before the battle against terrorism. While seeking to limit some of the rights of those held on suspicion of terrorist connections, he prevented the FBI from investigating gun purchase records to discover if any of them had bought a weapon. Do you get this? The FBI agents wanted to use gun purchase records to find out if any of the 14 hijackers or 19 hijackers had purchased weapons. And John Ashcroft wouldn't let them do it because he didn't want to do anything that might seem like it was pro-gun control, using the systems of gun control. He has continued, back to the Guardian article here, he has continued to plow resources into the drug war, stepping up raids on California health centers, which provide the chronically ill with medical marijuana. He's doing this instead of inspecting the cargo in the bellies of airplanes, instead of inspecting what's coming into our ports. He's laying off customs officers in Michigan this week so that he can bust somebody with cancer who's barfing their guts out from chemotherapy in California. Legal pot will stop that nausea. And John Ashcroft says, no, we can't have that. Going against the will of the citizens of the state. He has argued that the battle against Colombian rebels should be considered part of the broader counter-terrorist effort. Can we reverse the damage this administration is doing to democracy in their efforts to get elected in 2004? I think so. But the key to it is waking people up. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-3-7110.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home?
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the August Best Buys at Ace Hardware. Come in today and get Quality Touch semi-gloss wall paint for only $12 a gallon. It's great for kitchens, baths, even wood trim. Heck, not only will you get our lowest price of the year, but the folks at Ace can help you match over 1,400 colors. Plus, the Ace Quality brand comes with a 12-year warranty. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of August. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stepman's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
According to Abbas,
Immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Network, can we reverse the damage Bush is doing to democracy in his efforts to get elected in 2004? Just to wrap up the John Ashcroft stuff, it turns out that the Federal Election Commission has been looking into a charge that John Ashcroft broke the law. He received a contribution that exceeded the federal contribution limit by at least 10 times and possibly by more than 200 times, and then fails to disclose that in the first place. 2.5 years later, the FEC is still looking into it, but the file is now classified secret. This in his senatorial campaign when he lost the Senate race in his home state of Missouri, where the people really know him. He lost against a dead guy. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Rama in Santa Fe is on the line. Welcome, Rama.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to say, like, you just played on that commercial from Mike Malloy. These guys are war criminals. They need to be immediately arrested, tried, convicted, and maybe even executed. And, let's just say that no more time should waste, and the Navy SEALs, Delta Force, can do it.
Yeah. Rama, it ain't going to happen, but I think that one of the reasons why these guys are willing to lie and cheat and steal to retain power is because many of them know that if they lose the 2004 election, and this is where it gets really serious. I mean, you've got people holding substantial power right now, the power of life and death over other people, and they know that if they lose the 2004 election, then they lose Congress to the Democrats, then the investigations may start, and some of them may end up disgraced, they may end up in prison, they may end up having serious problems. I mean, you know, even simple stuff, like looking into George W. Bush's insider trading deal, where he made $800,000 on Harkin Energy stock, you know, has all of these investigations have been kiboshed or put on hold right from the get-go, ever since he came into office, the only way they can keep this stuff quiet is to hold power. Rama?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good one. And we've got to stop them. We've got to spread the word. We have to wake people up and tell them what's going on. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational? And, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A top Shiite cleric is among dozens of people who have been killed in two car bombs in the Iraqi city of Najaf. The blast occurred near the tomb of Ali, a caliph and cousin of the Prophet Muhammad, and the most sacred site to Shiite Muslims. More now from correspondent Laura Iyama.
Ayatollah Mohammed Bakir al-Hakim had delivered a sermon calling for Iraqi unity. Prayers had finished, people were leaving the mosque, and then the car bomb blew up. A Shiite official says as many as 20 people have been killed, including Mr. Hakim. Thousands of people were said to be digging through the rubble looking for victims. Mr. Hakim had just returned from Iran in May after U.S. forces took over Iraq. Mr. Hakim's uncle had been slightly wounded in a smaller bombing Sunday. Some blame the bombing on extremists or Hussein loyalists, adding the U.S. should have provided better protection. But a U.S. military spokesman says no coalition forces were near the mosque because it is considered sacred ground. Laura Iyama.
There is late word from an official at a hospital in Najaf. The death could now actually be at least 75. An attack on a military convoy north of Baghdad has left another U.S. soldier dead and three more wounded. Meanwhile, another soldier is dead after an accident in southern Afghanistan. Military officials say the special operations soldier fell while conducting overnight operations. And the future of talks on North Korea's nuclear program is still alive, barely, reinforced by promises to keep the six-way talks going. More from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. That standard advice appears to be what diplomats are doing in the face of endgame rhetoric from North Korea. According to officials who participated in the meetings, Pyongyang's former key supporter China was visibly upset when North Korea drew its line in the sand. Officially, North Korea continues to insist it will clarify its will to dismantle its nuclear program if and only if the U.S. clarifies its will to give up hostile policy. Washington is sticking to its bottom line. The Korean Peninsula must be nuclear-free. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Funeral services for three family members killed this week in a Chicago warehouse mass shooting will be held today. Howard Allen and Daniel Weiner will be laid to rest following a noon service. The men were among six co-workers killed by Salvador Tapia in the Wednesday morning shooting. Tapia was also killed in the shooting spree. A new vaccine may help save the lives of West Nile virus patients. Federal health officials say birds vaccinated against the infection did not die after they were exposed to the virus. Latest CDC figures show there are nearly 1,500 human cases of the virus in the U.S. with more than 20 deaths.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the August Best Buys at Ace Hardware. Come in today and get Quality Touch semi-gloss wall paint for only $12 a gallon. It's great for kitchens, baths, even wood trim. Heck, not only will you get our lowest price of the year, but the folks at Ace can help you match over 1,400 colors. plus the Ace quality brand, comes with a 12-year warranty. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of August. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
The death toll from two decades now of political violence in Peru may actually be more than twice the amount previously thought. A new report from the South American country's Truth and Reconciliation Commission says at least 69,000 people either died or disappeared in the years between 1980 and 2000. That story now from correspondent Judith Smelser.
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission collected testimony from 17,000 people affected by the violence, and it was given unprecedented access to military documents. Its report blames the Maoist insurgency group Shining Path for the outbreak of unrest. The group launched an uprising in 1980. But the commission also says government soldiers and police were involved in what it calls crimes against humanity. According to the report, most of the victims of the violence were members of indigenous communities who became trapped between government forces and rebel fighters. Judith Smelser reporting.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com and keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting also from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, Sirius Stream 145, and also broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, whiteRoseSociety.org has our archives, oh, and we're also on live365.com. Those of you who have been listening to this program for any period of time at all, are well familiar with Jim Hightower. He needs virtually no introduction because we run his little minute-and-a-half, two-minute program every day. In fact, we'll hear it in about 15 minutes here, I believe. Jim Hightower is an American original who burst on the national scene 20 years ago from the unlikely launching pad of Texas Agricultural Commissioner, an obscure but powerful office to which he was elected for two terms. He has since become America's most popular populist, spreading his message through books, tours, columns, and radio commentaries, which can be heard right here on the IE America Radio Network, among other places all across the United States. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Great to be with you.
Hey, I'm so glad to have you here. It's the last time I saw you was here in Montpelier, Vermont.
Exactly. Hooping and hollering with our old friend Bernie Sanders and other good people.
Yep. And I thought that article you wrote on corporate personhood was great, and thank you for acknowledging my book in that.
Well, you have to acknowledge your work, because you and David Corton and Fran and Poclad and others have been the pioneers in bringing this really crucial core issue of power and the seizure of our democracy to the people.
Yeah, I think it's a big one. I love your new book, Thieves in High Places. I had ordered it from Amazon way back, you know, a few months ago when it was first announced and it arrived. I suppose I shouldn't say that. Usually I get things through my local bookstore, but this was one of those impulse buys. But in any case, well, I got it, it came, and I've been thumbing through it. And it's one of those wonderful books that you can literally just flip it open anywhere, put your thumb down, and just start reading. And your voice, that Jim Hightower voice, is there in my head. And the question I have for you, Jim, is what can we do to stop the thieves in high places?
Well, we the people have got to assert ourselves. First of all, stop waiting on somebody running for president to solve our problems. We've been doing that for some time. In fact, mentioning that Montpelier, Vermont visit, a guy came up to me there wearing the best political button I've ever seen. It said, "Wearing a button is not enough." That's been our problem,
Tom.
Is that I think we've been passively progressive, and it's time for us to become aggressive because the powers that be are now radically regressive. And that is what I try to do in the book, is not just tell the bad news, which is the first third of the book, but to tell the good news. And in a section called America the Beautiful, which is not about amber waves of grain and purple mountain majesties, as lovely as those are, but is about the beautiful people in this country, the grassroots people who are already out there lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the political and economic exclusion shoved down on us by the thieves. So I tell the story of people battling Walmart, of fighting for a living wage, of taking back their privacy from the banking lobbyists, of challenging sweatshop goods, of protecting their public libraries, and these wonderful grassroots battles that are taking place all across the country. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to join in those efforts, build our organizing base, expand our coalition, and from the ground up, take power back.
Right, and the good news is people are actually doing this.
Exactly.
People are out there
and winning.
Doing these things. And yeah, I loved the story of X Sweat that I read in your book. It is X Sweat, isn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, Sweat X, actually.
But Sweat X, yeah.
But that's actually, I'm speaking to you from Los Angeles, where that company is funded by Ben & Jerry. They are former sweatshop workers in the garment industry. And now they own the company, formed as a cooperative, and they are organized through Unite, the Garment Worker Union. They have a state-of-the-art facility, and within 9 months, they had a profitable enterprise, making goods that are not sweatshop at all and pay not just a minimum wage, but a living wage, a decent wage.
Yeah, and the statistics that you had in that chapter were really remarkable. I mean, that was one of those. I had the highlighter out. You know, I'm going to use this someday.
Yeah.
This is great stuff, because you pointed out that the cost of the actual labor in a T-shirt, for example, the people who stitch the thing together and do all the stuff to turn it into a T-shirt, the cost of the actual labor is I don't have the actual
minimal.
Book.
It's a $20 T-shirt. A $20 T-shirt has the person who put it together, the worker, gets 21 cents out of that. That's working at minimum wage in U.S. Sweatshops. And that means that person is making about $10,000 a year. So you could double that person's wage. So they're now making $20,000 a year, which, you know, you're not rich, but you've got a shot at the middle class from that floor. And the price of the T-shirt would only change by 21 more cents. So there's 42 cents worth of labor in that $20 T-shirt. And even if they want to pass that cost along to us consumers, I think the vast majority of us would say, yeah, I'm for that. That'll help our country.
Yeah, and this gives a lie to the cheap labor conservatives' point that unionization or increasing labor, increasing minimum wages will raise the price of goods to the point where you can't afford to buy anything in Walmart.
Right,
and it's an absolute lie. It's just nonsense.
Absolute lie, and in fact, that 21 cents I was talking about, that's under U.S. minimum wage. If you're going to go to Haiti, if you're going to go to Vietnam, if you're going to go to China, then you're talking about the worker getting maybe 2 cents, 3 cents out of a $20 T-shirt.
Yeah, and so Phil Knight's billions come from the spread between the maybe a dollar and a half in labor versus 10 cents in labor that's in a $100 tennis shoe.
Exactly, and that's a good example. Phil Knight said he was going to abandon America, manufacturers and workers and communities, because he didn't want to have to pay $10 an hour. He said he could not be competitive on the world market at paying labor $10 an hour. So instead of that, he first went to Korea where he could get a dollar an hour. Then he went to China at 13 cents an hour, and then to Vietnam at a nickel an hour. And notice, as that wage went down, the price of his shoes did not go down. And
no.
That's a lot of happiness for Phil Knight as he runs to the bank pocketing
yeah.
the difference.
Well, he's become one of the richest men in America. He's a multi-billionaire. A billion is 1,000 million, and he's got a bunch of them, with 6 or 8 billion, something like that. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you have a question for Jim Hightower, and Jim in Atlanta is on the line. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yes, hello, sir. It's an honor to speak with you, Mr. Hightower.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
I have two little quick questions. Number one, I know the corporations in the country are starving to death, and I understand that that George is going to cut them a big tax deal.
Yeah.
No tax is what I understand. And number two, you probably know George Bush better than anyone. Could you please tell the people his true religious convictions? I understand that he said that he would never be out religioned again. Could you talk about that, please?
I don't, you know, I'm not able to speak to the sincerity. I actually assume that he has some sincerity in his religious beliefs. But what bothers me is the politicalization of those religious beliefs, including him posturing on it, but also him willing to put that religion directly into politics, and even more, I think his true religion is corporatism. This is a guy who's an absolute corporate wet dream, quite honestly. I mean, he just never any fantasy that a CEO has can come true by putting money into Bush's either personal pocket or political pocket, and that's been the case from his days as the governor of Texas to today, and we see him exercising the first fully corporatized White House, Bush Co., I call it in my book, the first fully corporatized White House in our lifetimes.
Yeah, remarkable. Jim in Atlanta, thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling in. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. We also have a live and active chat room going during the program. If you want to get to that, go to liberaltalkradio.com and click the links to the chat room. And one of the folks in our chat room, R. Shanlin 5 is his handle, who is in Taiwan at the moment, listening to the program live, says, Tom, could you ask Jim if he'll ever be in Taiwan giving talks?
Well, if you build it, I will come. You know, it's
okay.
That simple. I would love to. I've never been to that part of the world, and it's a deficit in my experience that I would like to change.
Great, and I've been in Taiwan many times, Jim, and I want to tell you it's a extraordinary place. And if you ever get there, go to the National Museum and plan on spending a day or two. It's mind-boggling.
Definitely.
Anyhow, Brain Shrub in Asheville, North Carolina, is on the line with a question for you. Brain Shrub, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom, love your show. And
thank you.
Jim, I just wanted to thank you for coming here when we had the Rolling Thunder tour here in Asheville a few months back.
Terrific.
I heard a rumor, which I didn't bother following up on, that you're going to be giving another talk here in Asheville, North Carolina, sooner than later.
Yes, I think it's in late October. We're planning an event there, and also we'll be over in the eastern part of the state, over in the Triangle area.
It's just awesome, I just came in into this chat just a few moments ago, so I don't know if you already talked about it, but if you could, skip a plug for the whole Rolling Thunder thing. I loved it. I mean, it was one of the best seminars on activism I've ever been at.
Well, the concept of the Rolling Thunder tour, and by the way, there's a whole great consortium of grassroots-based organizations that are involved in fostering this, is that we, the people, have got to get together. We have Tom, as I point out in the book and tell the stories of these terrific progressive groups, activisms, victories that are taking place all across the country, but they're not much connected up. People on one side of town dealing with toxic waste don't know the people fighting for a living wage. And so we need to get together as a progressive movement, literally, not just through email or exchanges of messages. or a meeting of leadership, but instead have the folks come together in a festival-type atmosphere, sort of like a county fair of democracy, and not just have boring speeches and meetings, but mix in music and have clowns. Patch Adams is a part of this effort with us, for example. Have food, all kinds of different foods from the local community, and have stuff for kids and workshops. And our slogan is "Put the party back in politics." You know, it's about time.
There you go. That's a great one.
Yeah. And these have been terrific events. Thousands of people turned out for each one of them. The one in Asheville earlier this year, we were in Santa Barbara. Now on Labor Day, going to be in St. Paul, then coming to Manchester, New Hampshire on September 20th, and then next month on the 18th of October in Kansas City. And then we'll keep on rolling into next year.
Great. Jim, I'd like to get a URL for that. We've got a break here that we've got to roll into. But when we come back from that, I'd like to ask you for how people can find information about that on the web. And Ralph in Bolingbrook, Illinois, and Gary in Connecticut are both on the line for you, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. We're talking to Jim Hightower. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
An awfully ugly little bill is quietly squirming its way through the congressional machinery. A bill that would be devastating for small business, consumers, and our communities. It's the National Bank of Walmart bill. Actually, that's not the official title, but that's its impact. Walmart, Citigroup, GE, and a handful of other giants have been pushing Congress to set up a new parallel system of banking that would operate outside the regulatory oversight of the Federal Reserve Board and would have the power to bully local independent banks out of business. Lobbyists for Walmart and the rest want Congress to let them buy little-known entities called industrial loan companies, then expand these small outfits into full-fledged commercial banks, opening up branches nationwide without state approval and escaping federal rules to make the banks operate in a sound manner. It's a way for the Walmarts to bypass the current prohibition against commercial firms owning banks, giving them the banking power to take control of our local economies. Walmart is the smiley-faced beast that already uses predatory pricing power to crush small businesses wherever it locates, and now it could use this new national banking clout to muscle out local banks. Then it would own the town. A local business trying to compete with Walmart, for example, would have to go to the beast for credit, even having to reveal its business plan to the giant. Naturally, Walmart will not be terribly interested in financing local competitors. Instead, using its banks to siphon our local capital out of our communities and into its own expansion elsewhere. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course Walmart and its political puppets claim that this is simply how the competitive system works. But that's like saying that you should compete with Mike Tyson in a street brawl. Unleashing Walmart on our communities is not a competition, it's a mugging. This giant already exercises brutish power, and it ought not get more.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
President, so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout.
We'll welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And, Jim, that question raises, or that song there raises a question. I got a bunch of things here I wanted to talk with you about. Your personal experience with Karl Rove, what about Bush's behavior as governor prophesied what he'd do to America. And your suggestion that anybody who calls George Bush stupid is making a serious mistake. But before we get to those topics, we've got a couple of callers here. I'd like to bring them in. Ralph in Bolingbrook, Illinois is on the line. Ralph, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Jim Hightower.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Good.
Enjoy your show. Jim, thanks for your efforts. I got turned on to you when Mike Malloy switched over to IE America, and I'd say it's a great thing.
So I appreciate that, too.
You're getting, a more nationwide voice, I think, with Tom and Nancy Skinner, and, you know, you're on with a lot of progressives, so we appreciate it.
Well, it's an exciting time, really. We've got a lot of voices out there now, and giving progressives a sense of connection and a sense of possibilities. And people are ready for this. The growth of IE America's programming. This book, by the way, Tom, is going to be on the New York Times bestseller list, no less.
Hey, hallelujah, Jim!
On Sunday, so in the very first week that it's been out, and you know, I didn't even have Fox TV sue me, so
yeah, which seems to be what it
we got more. Molly Ivins has a book coming out next week, next month. Bill Greider does. Michael Moore will have another one coming down the road. So our voice is getting out there. Not a moment.
Yeah, and I've got another one coming out next year.
Terrific.
So Ralph, you had a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Jim. I haven't really heard how you feel about the war with Iraq and where you think we should be going with it now, based on, you know, what we're facing at the moment.
Well, it was a war, obviously based on lies. A war to try to make the world safe for Halliburton is the upshot of it. A war that did get rid of Saddam Hussein, and you know that's a positive, but. You know, there are a lot of people that we would like to get rid of. Are we going to do them all? Is that what America is going to be all about? Now we learn, we are spending, in addition to the $400 billion a year, just to, as a retainer for the Pentagon, just to have the war machine idling, we spend now $4 billion a month in Iraq, even after supposedly the war was over, for military purposes, to have the military machine in gear. Another billion a month still in Afghanistan, you know, let's not forget that, which the Bush administration seems to have. And now we learn that we're spending $60 billion a year on nation building in Iraq. Well, a lot of Americans are beginning to say, that would buy a lot of nation building right here in America for health care for everyone, for rebuilding our dilapidated school system, et cetera, et cetera. So, I think that they got us in a world of hurt over there for their own ideological purposes, driven by Cheney, Rumsfeld, Howling Paul Wolfowitz, and the rest of those ideologues. And now they're in a sticky mess. Seems to me the thing for us to do now is to for us to get out to the U.S. government and our corporate power. Our logos have become the problem in Iraq. And we need to extract that, turning the nation building over as much as possible to the United Nations being the force that runs it, not bringing in the UN, as Bush is saying they want to do, but under our thumb. We need to get our thumb out of there and to have as many Muslims involved
I was just gonna say,
in this effort.
Get the Arab countries involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim, can you stick around over this break for a little longer here on the program?
I've got just one more minute, so I'm probably
only 1 minute.
Take a fly.
And then you
got to
go. Okay. Well, thank you for being on the program so far.
My pleasure, Tom. Let's do it again.
We're up against. Yeah, well, definitely.
Okay.
Jim Hightower, thank you very much, Jim. You're in the middle of the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Children's books are carrying more messages about the environment, but the best ones do it in a subtle way, according to a publisher. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. How do you educate preschool kids about environmental problems? Very gently, according to Laura Godwin, a vice president and associate publisher of Henry Holt Books for Young Readers. Godwin says children's books, even those for the very young, often reflect what's going on in the world, but she says heavy-handed or scary messages are not appropriate or useful. She points to a new book by Bill Martin and Eric Carle that gets it right. It's called Panda Bear, Panda Bear, What Do You See? A book of simple rhymes about 10 endangered or threatened species.
Their intent was never to proselytize because it's for preschoolers, and I think what is so unusual about this particular book that it's really an introduction to the idea of the grandeur of animals and the world of animals. And of course, all of the animals in this book are not from one particular continent or place. They're from all over the world. And it just very subtly and gently creates, I think, an interest on the child's part in what these wonderful creatures are.
Godwin says Bill Martin helped develop a new way to teach kids to read through pattern repetition rather than phonics, and most parents are familiar with Eric Carle's unique illustrations.
These are two bright lights in the children's book world. They've maintained this collaborative relationship over 35 years, and I think it's a wonderful tribute to them and to the children that the topic that they choose is conservation, and it's something that comes from the heart.
Godwin says Martin and Carl's Panda Bear helps introduce the youngest readers to an important subject without scaring them. She says that's the only way it should be done. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What are we gonna do with all these criminals? What are we gonna do about all these crimes. Where are we gonna put all this anger? Such a strange wind blowing and such strange, strange times.
Our military is powerful. The functions of our government continue without interruption. Our objectives are clear. And our solutions. Our operations are proceeding according to plan.
Crushed. Down the road I hear a dark, dark clamor. Feet are wet in the ever-rising tide. Could we break the world beneath our pounding hammer? Can we build a cage so big to fit the hole?
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Ran that bumper right up to the edge there. I really was liking that song. Do you remember who did that? You don't? I'm going to have to get a list of these things. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-825-5937. It's 26 minutes before the top of the hour. And Mike in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Mike?
Alive and semi-kicking.
Okay. Well, that's a start.
Yeah.
What's up?
Wanted to touch on several topics real quickly, if I could. First of all, about everyone who's saying, well, you know, we've created a mess in Iraq, but we need to stay there and clean it up. It makes about as much sense as saying, well, yes, I'm a brutish bully who happened to take over my neighbor's apartment because I thought he had a speed lab in there. Well, he didn't, but I feel like keeping it anyway. It doesn't make sense. I mean, we are the problem. We are the problem. We have caused the problem. At this point, the best thing we could do is get out and actually donate money, which is the last thing we want to do. We want
to
get
other people to donate. Mike, if you bust up your neighbor's apartment that you thought was a speed lab and it turns out that it's not, don't you have an obligation to make it straight? I mean, don't we need to get the world community involved?
Right, but what I'm saying is, you know, after I've broken in there, I said, well, maybe it's not a speed lab, but I like it anyway, so I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and make sure it isn't. Well,
I'll get my electricity from his outlets instead of my own outlets.
Exactly. It's kind of stupid. You know, we are the ones that have caused the problem. We have, there's no way in God's green earth that the Iraqis are ever going to love us. I mean, we've only killed over a million of them in the last 12 years. They're not going to be real thrilled with us for a long time anyway.
Right.
So, you know, being there as targets is really stupid. I mean, that's what we are.
Yeah, my understanding is looking at the statistics, looking at the 200,000 to 300,000 Iraqi soldiers who died in Gulf War I, looking at the 500,000 to 1 million Iraqi children who died as a result of the United States sanctions, which every day they were told by Saddam, the United States is doing this to you, and then looking at the soldiers who died in Gulf in this new Iraqi war, virtually every family in Iraq has a family member or a close relative who was killed by the United States in the last 12 years, and we're expecting them to welcome us with open arms?
Exactly. And the thing is, I mean, it's not just Bush, although he is a major part of the problem. I mean, this problem started during his father's administration, spanned the Clinton administration. After all, it was Madeleine Albright that said, oh, I think the price in dead children is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That was her statement.
I remember,
you know,
yeah.
I think it's worth it. Well, and that was publicized in Iraq. Hello, people. You know,
yeah.
I'm killing your kids, but I think it's worth it. And we're going to be loved? I don't think so.
And we're discovering now. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, Mike. We're discovering the consequences of what we did. But I agree with Jim Hightower. I think that the solution to this is to bring in the world community and give them the control of the oil. See, what it's not that George Bush wants to control the reconstruction of Iraq, although that's very profitable to his buddies at Halliburton and Bechtel. And it's not that he wants to control the political situation in Iraq to get democracy in the Middle East, although that may be a good idea, and that would be a nice benefit. But really, Iraq is sitting on between 10 and 20% of the planet's oil, and it's the cheapest oil on Earth right now because it hasn't been pumped down below about 10% of the total capacity of the wells, so it still bubbles out of the ground. They don't even have to pump this stuff. And whereas in Saudi Arabia, it's getting down to the point where in some of their wells, they're having to actually inject water down into them to get that oil out. It costs them $10, $12 a barrel to get it out in Saudi Arabia. You can get oil out of Iraq for less than a dollar a barrel, less than $2 a barrel in a worst-case situation. It's incredibly profitable. And he's saying, you know, yeah, we'll let the world come in here and help out, but they're not going to be able to administer the oil. We're not going to let... And that's the thing that is holding this whole thing up, is who's going to control the oil. And it amazes me how rarely that topic is brought up in the corporate media in the United States.
Right. And the whole idea of, well, you know, as soon as we get rid of Saddam, everything will be okay. It's like saying that, gee, well, as soon as we killed Saddam's sons, everybody would love us and they would know that the Ba'athists are gone. Well, the Ba'athists were gone a long time ago. The thing is, we can't understand why, strangely enough, people who have been attacked and have a foreign power occupying their country may be upset with that foreign power.
Yeah, not only that, they did it before. I mean, you know, this is the England tried, Europe, or the United Kingdom tried to occupy Iraq back in the 1920s unsuccessfully. And, you know, they ended up pulling out because of this exact same situation. And the Soviet Union tried to occupy neighboring Afghanistan, and they pulled out for the same reason. And we have jumped into this briar patch here. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments and well said. Good comments. Moving along here, Bustamante, Cruz Bustamante, the lieutenant governor of California, who is most likely going to be the next governor of California. I really think that we'll see. But I really think that now that people are discovering that Arnold is a real person, not just a movie star, and that as a politician he's actually going to have political opinions, and he's going to take positions on issues, and he's beginning to, and his positions are upsetting people. I mean, you can't take a position on an issue without angering somebody. It's not possible. And so all these people who were willing to cut him all this slack because they didn't have a clue who he was or what he stood for, they just thought he was cool in those movies, are going to start going away. I really think that if the recall happens, and frankly, my best guess is that most people are going to vote no in California, but I don't live in California. So I, you know, from here in Vermont, it's a long way out there, even though I have many friends there and I spend a lot of time there. I'm not a Californian, so I don't claim prophecy for that state, but it wouldn't surprise me if that ended up as a no. But anyhow, even if it goes yes, let's hope Cruz Bustamante gets in so that this overthrow of democracy, I mean, eight months after a president, after a gubernatorial election, they're recalling Gray Davis with millions of dollars. You know, every governor since the beginning of California has been subject to a recall, but none of them got to the point where they could get on the ballot because the bar was so high. And this is not the will of the people. This is dollars. This is Darrell Issa at the behest of Karl Rove spending millions of dollars of his own money and believing that he was going to become next governor and then crying when Karl Rove calls him up and breaks the news to him. Sorry, Darrell. We appreciate your money. It was nice of you to get, you know, Gray in this pickle, but we've got other fish to fry here, other people who are a little more compliant. So anyhow, Bustamante today came out and blasted the oil companies. This guy is really getting his legs. He's getting a sense of what he can do, and he's turning into a populist. I mean, traditionally the lieutenant governor is the quiet guy in the background, sort of like Al Gore was to Bill Clinton. And now that he's a candidate, he's speaking out. And I'll share this with you in just a minute. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Nathan in North Carolina is on the line. Nathan, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Nathan, you're on the air if you're there. He should be there, Nathan. Hey, Nathan, pick up the phone. Okay, we'll move on. I think maybe Nathan had to... had to run to the loo or something. Who knows? Anyhow, this is from the signonsandiego.com, the San Diego Union-Tribune newspaper, an article by Tom Chernow, Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante on yesterday, accused the big oil companies of ripping off Californians and vowed to bring them under state regulatory control as he began what shaped up as a frenetic day of campaigning by gubernatorial candidates around the state. And I'll carry that on to the next step after we still have Nathan here, and I guess he's back on the phone. Nathan, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Hey, welcome.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
I am great, and I can hear you now.
Great.
What's up, Nathan?
Great. Listen, I wanted to ask a question. If you would expand a little further, on the last caller, you said that you were amazed that the mainstream media had not picked up on the idea that the cheaper oil was why we were going to Iraq and the difficulty in pumping out in the older wells.
Well, I'm not amazed by it. I'm horrified by it.
It's
easy to understand.
Yeah, I like to basically just glean a lot of strange information from the Internet just as a hobby. It's funny. And I've come across some stuff, and if it's really as frightening as it sounds, I wanted to know, is it real? There are two books I want to get. One is yours, which is, I think, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight.
Right.
And another one, I think, is called The Party's Over by Richard Heinberg. But if what these people are saying, and that they're geologists primarily, is true, that we are out of oil, why isn't this being told everywhere?
Well, this is no secret in the oil industry. And, yeah, I did write about that in Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. And, in fact, we're coming out in 3 months, I think, with a new updated version. I just went through the book over the last 6 months and brought all the statistics up to date. But the one that's out is still, you know, good and solid. If you go to the British Petroleum website, www.bp.com, and just it takes a couple of clicks to get to it, but they've got a graph of the known and projected oil supply of the planet. And they've got another graph of the oil consumption of the planet. If you just do the math on it, we've got between 20 and 30 years worth of oil left.
Yeah, it was the Hubbard Peak.
Yeah, we hit the Hubbard Peak sometime between 1998 and 2003. And back when in 1996, when I wrote Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, which was first published in 97, I predicted that when we hit the Hubbard Peak around the year 2000, within 2 or 3 years of the year 2000, we would see a major international war for oil. And here we are. Not that I was prescient. I was just saying what Colin Campbell was saying back in the early 90s and what L. King Hubbard was saying in 1955 when he first came up with the Hubbard Peak. It's named after him. He's been dead now since the 80s. And he had thought that it was going to happen in the 70s or 80s. Frankly, they will find more oil. I mean, this is always happening, but it is a finite resource. And not only that, there's the problem of the damage that's done to the environment by the use of it. I mean, look at the weather that's happening here in the United States and Europe, and the wildfires and all the stuff that are the result of the atmosphere becoming more unstable as a consequence of the higher levels of carbon dioxide in it.
But what frightens me, I think, most of all, is I agree with you, they will find more oil, but if these graphs are true and constant to the laws of diminishing returns and thermodynamics, in as little as 15 years, we could see a huge economic disruption, just an inability to grow.
In as little as 1 year, Nathan. This is on us. This is upon us right now. This, you know, finding more oil is not the answer. The economic disruption, sorry, I had a thought there, and I know. It's here. Look at the price of gasoline right now. This is not going to be going down. I mean, there might be a short-term blip where the price of oil goes down when they start pumping stuff out of Iraq, but basically, you know, this is it, and it's going to go nowhere but up from here
of cost. I came across this stuff and started reading in the same week that I first read my first book by Daniel Quinn.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and
he wrote a blurb for Last Hours saying you better start reading this book right now.
I saw that on your website and was impressed by it. But it's a lot to take in at once. But I think it definitely modifies what I think I have to do as far as planning for my future.
Well, and what we've just been talking about, Nathan, is the downside. There is an upside to this, and that is that when we make the transition, I mean, we made the transition from wood as a primary fuel in the United States to coal, and then from coal to oil, and each one of those transitions opened enormous economic and cultural and social opportunity. And the transition from a fossil fuel-based economy to a renewable-based economy, from the idea that growth is the prime imperative to an idea that that quality of life and balance are the primary the prime imperatives, is going to be a wonderful, it has the potential to be a wonderful, extraordinary thing. And it actually, I spent a lot of time in Europe, and the European countries, particularly Scandinavian countries, are just doing amazing things now with renewables. And, you know, I see this, frankly, as the birthing, complete with the birth pains, of a new era, literally a new era in the history of civilization. I think it's going to be very positive in some ways. Yes, it's going to be very difficult in some ways. Nathan, thanks for your call and thanks for your comments. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim is in Indiana, a trucker, eh?
Yeah, you're talking about that oil addiction just then. It's like heroin addiction, you know what I mean?
It is.
I mean, and the question isn't where do we find more heroin, it's how do we get off this addiction?
There you go.
But that's not even why I called.
Okay,
Ashcroft. Ashcroft is on this tour right now. His victory tour or something he calls it.
Yep.
He's trying to push this Enforcement Enhancement Act. We like to call Patriot 2.
Yes. Also known as the Victory Act.
Victory Tour.
Yep.
Something in that includes a nullification of posse comitatus or something like that.
Yes, so that's my understanding.
Yeah, the point of that would be to be able to use the military for domestic law enforcement.
Yeah, and that's my understanding, although I'm not an expert on that. I'm going to have to get somebody who really is to come on the program and explain
the whole thing. Okay, well, my question is this. Why do the Republicans think they're going to need this?
That's a good question.
That's scary,
you know,
isn't
and,
it?
And the flip side of it is, if you read the Constitution, the National Guard was created to protect, to defend the borders of the United States and to serve in times of national emergency within the United States. That is, to help out if there's a flood or a tornado. And the National Guard's mandate does not include overseas service.
Well, this posse comitatus, see, the Republicans are always about at least four or five moves ahead of us in this game of chess. And I just kind of wonder why they think they're going to need to use the military for domestic law enforcement. What are they expecting? It's kind of like how the Republicans always like to want to build a lot of prisons because they themselves know the results of their kind of policies. So they know they're going to need a lot of prisons. Besides, it's not a cost. You know, these people talk about it costs $20,000 to keep a student in college, but if it costs like $80,000 to keep someone in prison, that's not a cost. That's somebody's making that money. My last question is, what did Eisenhower know about Iran?
Jim, I'm going to have to ask you to hold on because we're out of time here. Hang on there. We'll take this after the break.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Now at Radio Shack, it's the best time ever to sign up for great home entertainment from Dish Network. And with our 30-day satisfaction guarantee, we know you'll love it. Get two rooms with one digital video recorder free, or three rooms with standard receivers free. Just pay $49.99 and get it back as a credit on your first month's bill, making it free. Get Dish Network at Radio Shack.
Includes waiver of early termination charges for 30 days from date of activation. Offer ends 10/23/03. All prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. Credit approval and 2-year purchase of programming required. Early termination fee after guarantee period. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
We'll be back with more music, but first, a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is. is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Did you hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my white program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, funny twister.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning, I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land, I'd a hammer out danger, I'd a hammer out a warning, I'd a hammer out the love between my brothers and my sisters.
What can we do to stop the thieves in high places? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we were speaking with Jim in Indiana. Jim, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
I just wanted to know, because, you know, I always liked Ike. He was, when I was a kid, he was that father figure, you know, war hero and all this kind of stuff. He is, poor man's probably turning in his grave right now. But on the other hand, what did he know about Iran and getting rid of Mossadegh and putting in the Shah? It was on his watch. What did he know? What did he know? Was he involved in all the crap that we did down in Central and South America? We killed tens of thousands of people down there. What did Eisenhower was Eisenhower in on that?
You know, I honestly don't know. I am not a scholar of Eisenhower or of that particular period in history. And haven't done my homework. Nixon, I know, handled a lot of that stuff. Nixon was in charge of the Cuba operations in the Eisenhower administration. And Nixon created the Cuba desk within the White House. Whether the Banana Republic stuff and the overthrowing Mossadegh and installing the Shah stuff was done by Nixon or Eisenhower or somebody else, who knows? I mean, we were pretty naive, I think, in a lot of ways back then. And
the CIA, they like got a government plane and bombed one of the capitals, like Guatemala or Honduras or something, assassinated the president, and we just moved in. I mean, we bombed in the capital down there.
I know. We planted a lot of seeds that grew back to bite us. You know, and by the way, with regard to the I know you brought up the Posse Comitatus. I brought up the National Guard. And the reason why George Bush so badly wanted to get in the National Guard, that his father pulled political strings to make it happen during the Vietnam War, was because National Guardsmen didn't go to Vietnam. And the reason why is because here, from the Constitution of the United States, the National Guard is created, quote, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, end quote.
That's so, the Posse Comitatus. It just fascinates me. These Republicans are just into everything. They're into everything. They're into education. They're into health. They're into, or lack of health. They're into polluting the air. They're into nationalizing the military. The thought of them wanting to be able to use the military for domestic law enforcement just makes me wonder, what do they have in mind?
Yeah, I think strange times are coming, Jim. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That quote, by the way, was from Agraab on the chat room. Thanks for that. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The death toll from a car bombing in Iraq continues to rise. Hospital officials in Najaf now say at least 75 people were killed in the attack outside the main mosque in the Iraqi holy city. A key Shiite leader is among the dead. Some of the victims are said to be critically injured, and officials fear the death toll could still climb higher. Also in Iraq today, a U.S. soldier was killed and 3 others wounded when their convoy was attacked by Iraqi guerrillas. British Prime Minister Tony Blair's top media advisor has announced he's resigning. Alistair Campbell's been at the center of claims the British government exaggerated an Iraqi weapons dossier ahead of the invasion. More from correspondent Catherine Drew.
Downing Street has announced that Alistair Campbell, the powerful director of communications and strategy, is to resign. The announcement comes amidst a judiciary inquiry into the death of British weapons expert Dr. David Kelly. Dr. Kelly apparently committed suicide after being publicly named as the source for a BBC report which accused Mr. Campbell of embellishing the dossier to help justify the March invasion of Iraq. Last week, Mr. Campbell appeared before the inquiry to deny that he was responsible for the public naming of Dr. Kelly. He also denied having any influence on the content of the dossier, particularly the controversial claim that Iraq could deploy weapons of mass destruction within 45 minutes. That inquiry continues. Catherine Drew, Washington.
And the future of talks concerning North Korea's nuclear program is still alive, just barely. More from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. That standard advice appears to be what diplomats are doing in the face of endgame rhetoric from North Korea. According to officials who participated in the meetings, Pyongyang's former key supporter China was visibly upset when North Korea drew its line in the sand. Officially, North Korea continues to insist it will clarify its will to dismantle its nuclear program if and only if the U.S. clarifies its will to give up hostile policy. Washington is sticking to its bottom line. The Korean Peninsula must be nuclear-free. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all...
Feeling. Whoa, 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 feeling.
Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Attorney General John Ashcroft says suspected al-Qaeda detainees will not be given prisoner of war status. Several hundred are being held at a Navy base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. In Norway today, Ashcroft said they're being treated humanely but could be held indefinitely. South Dakota Republican Congressman William Janklow has been charged now with second-degree manslaughter. Moody County State's attorney charged Janklow in connection with the death of a motorcyclist August 16th. Janklow, who has a history of speeding, collided with the man at an intersection. Janklow is a former governor of South Dakota and is currently just in his first term in Congress.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get Gunk Engine Bright for just 49 cents after a $1 mail-in rebate. Gunk Engine Bright is the best way to remove grease and grime from auto, lawnmower, marine, and tractor engines. This is the good stuff. Whether you're detailing your engine or just cleaning it off, Gunk Engine Bright will get the job done. So come to Napa and get Gunk Engine Bright for just 49 cents after mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Despite a big jump in gas prices recently, about 33 million people are still expected to hit the road this Labor Day weekend. The details from correspondent Rory O'Neill.
AAA estimates the number of travelers is up about 2% over last year, and part of that increase may be due to the calendar. With Labor Day falling early, there were fewer weekends to take that summer vacation.
It's just compacted the schedule for the vacation options that people have. And if they didn't travel during May or June, this really is their last shot at getting a little bit of free time, heck, until Christmas.
AAA's Justin McNall says top vacation destinations are the same, with big cities and towns leading the way, while oceans, beaches, lakes, and mountains are listed as favorite spots to spend this long holiday weekend. Rory O'Neill, Orlando.
A gallon of regular unleaded gasoline jumped up an average of 10 cents over the past few weeks to a national average of $1.75 a gallon, but industry analysts are expecting those prices to come down slightly over the next few weeks. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. Every summer, callers on the Car Clinic Network ask what's causing that odor when I turn on my air conditioner. And the answer? Bacterial growth in the AC system. The good news is there's an ingenious process from BG Products that cleans and disinfects your entire ventilation system without having to dismantle it. You'll breathe easier with a BG ventilation service, and your car will smell like new. To find a shop that performs this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast-to-coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and streaming live on the Internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.org, or .com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. Yesterday was the 40th anniversary of the March on Washington, D.C. and the I Have a Dream speech by the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr., who provided us with our quote for the day, or who said the quote for the day that we're using today, we've been using for the last 3 hours, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." From the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. James H. Cone is the Charles A. Briggs Distinguished Professor of Systematic Theology at the Union Theological Seminary in New York. Cone has lectured at more than 700 colleges, universities, divinity schools, and community organizations throughout the United States, Europe, Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Caribbean. He is the author of more than 100 articles and several books, including Martin and Malcolm in America, A Dream or a Nightmare. Mr. Cone, or is it Dr. Cone, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be with you.
Oh, thank you. The Martin Luther King and Jr. and Malcolm X have historically been viewed as the opposing yin and yang of the civil rights movement. King saw America as a dream as yet unfilled, and Malcolm X seemed to have viewed America as a realized nightmare. Yet you say that their visions moved towards convergence, that Dr. King became more militant while Malcolm X became more conciliatory. Can you give us some sense of that?
Yes. At the best time to see King when in his most conciliatory mood is, of course, the I Have a Dream speech, March on Washington. That's the time when King is most optimistic about the promise of America to bring freedom and justice to African Americans in this land. But Malcolm X was the one who said at that time, while Dr. King is having a dream, the rest of us Negroes are having a nightmare. So King, at the time King was dreaming about America, Malcolm was trying to call America's attention to the nightmare. And of course, near the end of King's ministry, King began to say, "They have now turned my dream into a nightmare." And what he was referring to, of course, was the increase in poverty and the violence that was taking place in American cities. He expected America to respond to his challenge to implement justice and freedom in every aspect of American society, but the country just didn't do that. And as a result, he moved closer to Malcolm X's position, which saw America as a nightmare, and he could understand Malcolm X. In fact, many journalists said that King in 67 and 68 sounded like Malcolm X. Well, Malcolm X, after his break with Elijah Muhammad in 1964, before King, in early 1964, he then was freed from that kind of racist, sexist-oriented religious organization, free to really see the world. And so he went to Mecca and went to Africa, and it freed him of his own kind of negative perspective where all whites were regarded as evil and all blacks as good. Malcolm began to move toward King and began to realize that the civil rights movement is something that he needed to be a part of. In fact, before Malcolm was assassinated, when King was conducting the Selma March in Selma, Alabama, Malcolm went there and also spoke in a church there supporting Dr. King. So what I'm trying to say is that Malcolm began to move toward the civil rights movement and began to participate on the fringes of that movement, and King began to move toward understanding Malcolm's perspective on the nightmare. So I think Martin and Malcolm, rather than conflicting with each other, actually complemented and corrected each other in such a way that they began to converge toward each other.
Yeah. Interesting. Many forget that at only the age of 27, Martin Luther King was getting shotgun blasts through his front door and having his house bombed. I mean, this was a truly violent time to take a stand. It makes you wonder if people have the will anymore to weather attacks to expand democracy and to expand, to continue the work to expand civil rights in the United States. What do you think is the state of the civil rights movement in the United States?
Well, the state is not too good today because America thinks it does not perceive itself as really needing any more civil rights for black people or for any people for that matter. America, you know, the government and et cetera, and most people in this country, they think that that blacks have gotten their justice now. They think the civil rights movement itself made that happen. But they fail to look at the fact that there are 2 million people in prisons. 2 million, and one half of the 2 million are African American.
Right.
50% of people in prisons are African American, while African Americans constitute only 12% of the population. There is something grossly wrong about that. And
yes.
Also, when you look at unemployment, African Americans are always twice as much unemployed. When you look at African Americans in colleges, there are more in prisons than there are in colleges and universities. There's something grossly wrong about that, something grossly unjust about that. So I think America has a long ways to go, and what they need to do is to understand the meaning of covert racism and not just simply overt racism, which you had in the 60s.
Yeah, I have often pointed out on this program that when you get unequal results, you're usually starting at unequal starting points.
That's a good way of putting it. I will remember that. That's a good point. When you get unequal results, that means you're starting at an unequal starting point. That's a good way of putting it. That's the way I would put it. In fact, I'm going to remember and give you credit for it.
Okay, well, thank you.
That's a good point.
It's just so obvious to me, and I think to many people who listen to this program, that the United States, as you say, we have a long way to go. These statistics that you cited are, in fact, I had a right wing guy on here back when the stuff was going on with the University of Michigan.
Oh yes,
and he was taking the position that, you know, everything's fine, thank you very much. And I said, well, are you saying? I asked him, are you saying then that one race is superior or inferior to the other? Because it's either one of two things. It's either that or it's that you've got unequal starting points because we have unequal results. And he just fell apart. I mean, once you look at the racism intrinsic in the logic of the right in suggesting that everything is fine, it falls apart. Pardon my rant there, but
no, I think your rant is I'm learning a lot from your rant. No, that's a good, very good point, because when you do have that unequal results, you have to look much deeper, and that means there's something wrong with the starting point. I really agree with that.
And this is our culture. I mean, our culture is it defines the starting point. So we still have this problem. The civil rights movement is still needed. Now, in your book, Martin and Malcolm in America, you argue that neither man won total acceptance from African Americans. How so?
Yeah, see, what I mean by that is there's a little bit of Martin and a little bit of Malcolm in all African Americans. And what I mean by that, we do want to live in a world in which we can be brothers and sisters and like other white human beings and other human beings. We want what King was talking about. That is that truly beloved community, truly integrated community. But yeah, we also want to be black. We want to affirm our culture and affirm our heritage and be there in full force. But what we discover from the larger mainstream white community is that they only want tokenism. And they only want one or two of us. They don't want the whole masses of black people. So in that sense, Malcolm is right, and that's the point that Malcolm made. So in some sense, while our hearts go out to King and we struggle what King advocated, and we do know we have to live in a society with other living human beings, including whites as well, Well, that means we have to try to do what it takes to do that. At the same time, whites are not accustomed to having blacks being black. They are accustomed blacks being, you know, treated in a subordinate way and blacks only being there in a token form. So as a result, that creates a tension between us identifying with Martin and identifying with Malcolm. And actually, you end up with a little bit of both of them.
Yeah. Well, brilliantly said. You know, and I think that the sense of tribe, of this is our community, is when it's acted out in a way that doesn't say the other tribe is bad and has to be destroyed, but instead just this is our tribe, that's their tribe, is actually a healthy thing. You know, you have the Italian communities, who Italian Americans, who kind of stick together, and Irish Americans and whatnot. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think ultimately that's just a human. That's something that's in our DNA is to be tribal in a particular way. But and what's I find so bizarre is that the right wingers who take offense at African American, using my word tribalism, it's probably the wrong word to use, but
mm-hmm.
but you know, a sense of community that mm-hmm. has to do with race or that has to do with ethnic heritage.
Mm-hmm.
They get all upset about that, but then they're marching at the front of the Columbus Day Parade in New York City, sucking up to the Italian American community.
Yeah, I know.
So they're saying, hey, it's okay for white people to have their tribes, to have their groups, to have their ethnic identities, but it's not okay for African Americans to. And I always. You know, whenever I hear one of these guys going off on this, it makes me crazy. Anyhow, you warned, don't isolate Martin into some corner of ceremonial irrelevance so that he no longer speaks to the hunger of the human spirit for freedom. A quote from Reverend Joseph Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
Has Martin Luther King become such an icon that the message and the hunger of the movement has been watered down? We've only got about 20 seconds before we have to take a break, and then we can continue this conversation after that.
It is true that that's what has happened. That is, I think America has stopped in 1963, and we have distorted that dream speech he had and turned it into something that Martin King never intended, which is to make us feel good about ourselves rather than critically about ourselves.
Yeah, it's become kind of a marketing thing, and we need
to
shake that up. We're speaking with James H. Cone, a professor of systematic theology at the Union Theological Seminary in New York. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HD TV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Dr. James H. Cone, the Charles A. Briggs Distinguished Professor of Systematic Theology at the Union Theological Seminary in New York. Cone has lectured to more than 700 colleges, universities, divinity schools, and community organizations around the world. The author of more than 100 articles and several books, including the brilliant Martin and Malcolm and America, A Dream or a Nightmare. Dr. Cone, we have a couple of callers who have questions for you. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number if you'd like to call and ask a question, Dr. Cone. 1-800-825-5937. And Brian in Raymond, New Hampshire is on the line. Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes, I'd like to say, sir, I think if Dr. King and Malcolm were alive today, the two great patriots that they are, they would still be demonstrating today in Florida for what happened in that Florida 2000 election. I say one man, one vote was murdered in Florida 2000 by Choice Point Technologies when they criminally and wrongly named 57,000 to 70,000 African-American Democrat voters to be felons. It was a criminal act done by Choice Point was chosen and worked with Catherine Harris, the Secretary of State of Florida, and who was also a campaign head of George Bush for president, and there's no conflict of interest there. It's so outrageous that I think that you're talking about civil rights today. You're right that the issues are every bit as dire today. One man, one vote has no meaning in this country right now with these voting machines and these corrupted so-called elections. Cynthia McKinney, she might have won in Georgia actually in 2002, but for those voting machines. I agree
with
you.
Well, and also she was the victim of a smear campaign.
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
Brian, thanks for the comment. Let me turn this into a question here for our guest. Dr. Cone, do you think that the race baiting tactics that the Republican Party has been consistently using over the last, well, going back to George Bush Sr.'s Willie Horton ads, but you know, it's now it's gotten more subtle in some ways, and more overt in some ways, as Brian pointed out in Florida, where they took the names of Texas felons and applied them to the Florida list and purged it. Do you see this as something that is motivating and enraging and activating the African American community across the United States, or is this something that's slipping under the radar?
Well, no, it's not flipping under the radar. Now, African Americans are very much well aware that we were actually disenfranchised during that election in Florida. And I have a brother who lives in Florida, so he was close to what was happening there. And he was telling me about what happened in Jacksonville, where he lives. A similar thing went on during that time. Now, I think African Americans know, but you know, our thing is that we are amazed that no matter what we do and how much progress we make, there is always a group of white people who are ready to disenfranchise us.
Yeah, there's always Ann Coulter standing there.
That's the most amazing thing. They think up everything. They are one step ahead of us. In trying to deceive and to take away the little advance that we do make. And so, no, we are upset. I would say it hasn't caused us to, you know, to exist in a state of despair. It just caused us to, you know, be more aware of how deceptive and how trickery white people can become.
Yeah, it boggles my mind. I see, you know, Ann Coulter running around, you know, talking
yeah.
about, wow, there's no problem, and just, you know, these people just talk in race and code. It absolutely makes me crazy. Just to remind folks, it's 28 minutes after the hour. We're going to take another break here, just a couple of minutes, and then we'll be back with Dr. James Cone, who is the author of Martin and Malcolm in America, Dream or a Nightmare, and we have Margaret on the line with a question. We'll pick up your question, Margaret, right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. For the second year in a row, the White House wants to slash annual pay increases for civilian employees of the federal government. In a letter to congressional leaders on Wednesday, George W. Bush cited a national emergency as his reason for limiting raises for 1.2 million government employees to just 2%, rather than the usual 4.1%.
Federal employees are working class people by and large, and that extra money in their pocket is something they really need to put food on the table and buy clothes for their kids to go back to school and pay their mortgages and their car payments and what have you.
Jackie Simon is public policy director for the American Federation of Government Employees, the largest union of federal workers. She's worried not only about Bush's proposal to roll back pay raises, but also his proposal to set aside $500 million for a pay-for-performance system.
He's trying to create this slush fund with $500 million in it that will allow political appointees to hand out additional raises and bonuses to anybody they think is doing a good job with the president's political agenda.
A similar bid last year to roll back government employee raises was defeated in Congress.
A Dutch supermarket and retail store conglomerate, already mired in a $1 billion accounting fraud scandal, is now in serious trouble in the Czech Republic. State labor inspectors there have discovered that the Royal Ahold Company company, which does business in the Czech Republic with its Hypernova and Albert stores, kept two sets of books on its workforce. One showed all workers were paid their rightful amounts for the hours they worked, but the other showed a regular and ongoing refusal to pay anyone for overtime. The inspectors say Ahold is but the worst of what is a common violation, estimated to affect 3 out of every 4 Czech workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
More united we stand, divided we fall. And if our backs should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. If you want to drop into our chat room, we've got quite a fascinating conversation going on along the side about this topic. Go to TomHartmanShow.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com and just follow the links to the chat room. And if you want to be on the program today, if you have a question for Dr. James H. Cohn, who is our guest, he's the author of Martin and Malcolm and America, A Dream or a Nightmare, as well as many other articles and several books. The number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Dr. Cohn, we have Margaret on the line, who is in a secret location. Either Margaret is with Dick Cheney, or she has heard about John Ashcroft, and she doesn't want to disclose her location. Margaret, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, no, I guess I don't like to, but I have two questions for Dr. Cohn based on what your discussion was on. One was the fact that you were talking about tribes. Now, what are we going to do, call ourselves tribes in America because and be like Afghanistan, Iraq, or any of the other tribes over there in Europe? Do you want us to call ourselves Italian-American? Or Russian American, or British American, because you're African American. And my thought is that when you call yourself African American, you're associating yourself with Africa. Now, I'm American, and all of us in the United States are American. And if you want to put us all in tribes, we're going to have everybody in the country of European tribes American. That's one question. And the other question is, you talk about the prisons having most of black people, black Americans, in prison. Maybe we should do a study to find out who is in prison, the most of them, and why are they in prison? Are they American, African, or Italian, or black Americans? And I feel that when you call yourself African American, you're the one that's causing a disruption for racism. I'm not racist. I have a lot of black friends, and I don't like to be called a person in the white tribe or in an African tribe, an African American. I wish he'd respond to those.
Sure, but before he does, I want to say that tribe was the word that I was using, Margaret, not the word that our guest was using.
Yeah, and I know you did, in fact, but I kind of
have a story that
off.
I'll tell you about that. So that was my word, not his. And I take responsibility for that. And Dr. Cohn?
Yes. I would not have used tribe, but I know. But the point she's making is well taken. So I will respond to it without just losing myself in the issue about the tribe thing, but to speak right. to what I think she is expressing. I just want to try, when you're in power or you are identified with the people in power and look like people in power, then you can be universalist. And it's easy for you to say that I am just an American. But, you know, African Americans have not been treated that way. We were slaves, enslaved because we were black from Africa. 246 years of legal slavery. Then after that, it was 100 years of legal segregation. And even lynching was going on at that time. So African Americans, black people, that's happened to them because they came from Africa. Now, if we want to pretend that that ain't happening and we're not black and that we can just act like everybody else, then you end up doing nothing about your situation. It is only when you realize that, then you begin to overcome the discrimination against that. Now, no one says to Jews they should not identify their Jewish identity. As long as there are anti-Semites in the world, you better affirm your Jewish identity. So no one tells Jews they shouldn't talk about the Holocaust or shouldn't talk about their discrimination. But when it comes to black, they want us to be colorblind. Hmm. Well, the society is not colorblind. And if you're the victim of racism, even though people who do that to you say they are not racist, they just transcend racism, but yet they act that way, then we have to find a way to identify what's going on. Because if one half of the people in prisons are black people, that didn't happen by accident. We can pretend that it had nothing to do with color, and all police departments and law enforcement officials will say it had nothing to do with color. But I don't believe that, and neither does anybody else in this society. So I think that's when we need Malcolm X. And I would just recommend the caller to read Malcolm X and to look at him and help us to realize that, you know, being who you are is very crucial for overcoming the discrimination that is against you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... And to take it a step further, and thank you, Margaret, for your comments and for your question, and thank you, Dr. Cohn, for that very articulate answer. If I can just indulge in a brief story here. Some years ago, I was invited to speak at it was called the Harvest Gathering in Western Massachusetts, and it was put on by a magazine called Spirit of Change, which is a community magazine in that area, and that is run by a white woman and a Native American man. And who are a couple. And there was this talking circle at the end of the 2 days where we were sitting around. I had been invited to be the elder representing the white race, as it were, whatever that means. And there was an African-American. There was somebody actually from Africa there. There was a fellow who was from one of the tribes in Peru. There was somebody there from a tribe in Brazil. And there were several Native Americans there. And we were sitting around, and each one of us was going to have a few minutes to talk. And all these people were assembling to hear the talk, and there was this fire, and we were just sitting around the fire. It was at night, and it was out, you know, it was in this campground, state-run park, state camp. And the fire was burning, and I was sitting next to a guy named Frank, who was of a tribe that I can't remember how to pronounce the name of the tribe, but it's one of the Canadian Native American tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking out at this sea of people. I mean, you know, hundreds of kids, mostly. I mean, most of the people who had come to this thing were in their teens, 20s, up to their maybe 30s, and a good, almost all of them were white, and many of them were dressed like Indians, like Native Americans. They were wearing buckskin and they had feathers and stuff like that.
Mm.
And Frank leans over to me and pats me on the leg, you know, to get my attention. And he says, Tom, tell me why your people want to be like us. Why are they dressing like Indians? What's that about? I don't understand that. And I thought about it for a minute, and it just all of a sudden just hit me. And I leaned back over and I said, Frank, my father's family came to the United States. My father's father, literally my grandfather and grandmother, came to the United States from Norway in 1917. And the Norwegians don't have any recollection of their tribal roots. I mean, all those people from Europe were tribal people at one time. Mm. But if you go to Norway, you can find stones with the old writing on it, the runic writing, but nobody knows how to read it anymore. Mm. What happened was that there was this detribalization. The Celts came through 3,000 years ago, and then the Romans came through 2,000 years ago, and then the Catholics came through 1,000 years ago, and in each one of these waves, they forbade people to speak the old languages, they trashed the old religions, and they stripped people of their identity. Mm. And the result, I think, is that many white people in America have no sense of roots or identity, and they try to create it artificially by joining groups ranging from the Italian American Association to the KKK, and of course, you know, in positive ways as well. And I think that this and the same kind of holocaust of memory, this great forgetting, has happened to so many African Americans, as opposed to Africans who come here from Africa and you know who remember their community and their tribe, and they know, you know, what group they were from and going back 1,000 years.
Yes.
And I think that this is a shared crisis among white people and black people and in the United States, and one that we need to address somehow. I'm not sure how. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think everybody has a history. I think when you can identify with people in power, and yet you have a tendency to lose your identity because it's not under threat. It's not under siege. And you can just sort of transcend everything, particularly if you are it's easy to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
Blacks could not assimilate. Not easily.
Not and legally for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And so the only thing is that when you are under siege and oppression, then you have to close ranks in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
See, you become very self-conscious. Your community becomes strong if you survive. And African Americans are in a position in which they have no choice. They are easily recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's whether we affirm our tribe or not, others who are going to victimize us, like policemen and other lawyers, they affirm it.
That's
and
right.
They treat us as a tribe. So if we don't get together and do something about it and protest something about it as black people, as African people, then we're going to find ourselves being eliminated and one by one without any sense of who we are. So oppression actually forces people to search and find an identity that will enable them to triumph over what is oppressing them.
Yeah, I would say that there is a cultural holocaust going on that has gone on over the last 300 years with regard to African Americans.
Yes.
that was similar to the cultural holocaust that happened to Europeans 3,000 years ago that they have more or less recovered from. And the African American community has not yet recovered from that. In fact, it's a fresh wound.
That's right.
And Native Americans, of course, know this really well. In fact, Frank responded to me when I told him my insight. He said, you know, I can't even imagine what it would be like to not know the language of my mother's people and to not know the holy places and to not know the sacred herbs and all those things. He said, if they took that away from me, I would
mm-hmm.
be lost. And so anyway, according to Peter Jennings last night, and I think you were on Peter Jennings' show,
yes,
the news last night, the White House feared that the timing of the march in Washington, D.C., the one that happened 40 years ago yesterday, could derail pending civil rights legislation. It didn't have that effect, though. Do you think that there was a chance that things could have turned out badly?
No, I don't think there was a chance that things could have turned out badly, largely because the people in charge of that march and who were seasoned civil rights activists have never initiated violence, have never tried to create violence. They were a nonviolent army. So they were professionals at being nonviolent and training others in the movement to be nonviolent. That's why that march was so peaceful. I think the Kennedy administration and a lot of other white people thought that there were going to be violence and were scared, Newsmen and everybody, because they do not know black people. And they know that if it were them who had been treated as black people had been treated in this society, they would be violent.
They would be madder than hell.
Oh, they would be madder than hell. And there is not a white person around that I can find who has ever advocated nonviolence when they themselves are being victimized by another group.
Yeah.
I've never known that. I've never known any white, religious, otherwise, to advocate nonviolence when they are subject to being destroyed by another group.
Well, Dr. Cohen, what is the hope here? What are the positive signs? We've got about 2.5 minutes, I think, left in this segment. What are the positive signs that you see? What is the future, and what can our listeners do to participate in creating a renewal of America?
You know, the hope in America is that there are still black, white, and all kinds of people, small group, but still here, who recognize and resist injustice. So as long as there is resistance in this land, there is hope, because hope comes from resistance. Hope comes from standing against that which would destroy hope.
Yes.
So it's out of struggle against injustice that hope is given birth. So I don't have despair about America. I have hope, because there are so many young, old, and blacks, white, who still understand and who still get the point. And as long as there are people speaking out and acting out, and I would just say to people all over the land, if you are in despair, that means you must not be doing anything. If you
get involved,
you're not going to be in despair.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this, this is one of the things that we're seeing right now in the political arena, which is, you know, a different topic. But so many people now are starting to say, they're starting to get involved and active in the opposition to the stripping of human rights from by this administration. I mean, just the bizarre things that this Bush administration is doing. And it's causing people to suddenly be hopeful, when I think that a lot of people were in despair a while ago. And to see that happening also in the civil rights movement, or in the renewal of the civil rights. Is there still actually what you would call a civil rights movement in the United States?
Well, you know, I think there are local places where people are struggling for civil rights to be treated justly and as human beings. But it's not a national civil rights movement that
does
I
need
see
to be
around anything close to what was happening in the 60s. And I think one reason for that is because it's hard to find something that is so overt and not complicated and can't be twisted into something else for people to identify with. That's what makes it difficult.
Yeah.
But there are people around. And I still
Good.
Believe there is hope.
And they're still carrying on the fight. And you're one of them, and I thank you so much for being on our program.
Oh,
today.
Thank you very much.
It was an honor and a pleasure to have you here. Dr. James H. Cohen, author of Martin and Malcolm in America, A Dream or a Nightmare, Uncommon Sense in the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between five, look at the horses, and one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts, because you can get a Napa 65-month power battery for just $39.99 with exchange. This is the good stuff, manufactured to the highest industry standards. Remember, summer heat is even tougher on your battery than the cold. If your battery isn't getting the job done, get it taken care of now before you hit the road this summer. And at just $39.99, the Napa power battery is definitely the way to go.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Molloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Molloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Molloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. For those of you in Philadelphia or in that area, anybody who wants to travel to Philadelphia, on Sunday there will be a forum. This is Lynn Landis and Dr. Rebecca Mercury are putting this thing together, and these are the real heavy hitters, national heavy hitters in the issue of voting technology and democracy. Are the Republicans getting ready to steal the next election? There's going to be a forum on voting technology and its threat to democracy, Sunday, September 7th. 2 to 5 p.m. at the Ethical Society at 1906 South Rittenhouse Square in Philadelphia. And you can call Lynn at 215-629-3553 for more information. And I know that went by fast and most of you didn't have a pen out. I'll post it on our message board at tomhartman.com so you can find more information about that. A couple of more emails here. We got one here from Yankee. He says, excellent show today. My first time listening. Thanks for the newsletter. I'm picking it up on the internet in Switzerland. Man, I moved away 10 years ago to get away from it all, and the show is really a breath of fresh air. I'll tune in tomorrow. Thanks again. Thank you, Yankee. I appreciate your calling and or your emailing and your kind comments. The back in the 90s, just after Desert Storm, the economy began to sour. Fortune magazine ran an article in which it had interviewed various leaders on the question of what was needed to get the economy going. This from Joel in Sherman, Texas, J.D. One of those asked was Pappy Bush, who said, let business do what business does best. And my thoughts were, you just leave it to business and the economy will correct itself. Just what does business do best? Make a buck today and to heck with tomorrow. Who's going to call the shots? Needless to say, I voted against him and Pappy Bush did not get reelected. I believe American business, as good as they might be, acting as individuals or playing follow the leader, are like a bunch of superstars without a coach, a quarterback, or a game plan. When the game gets tough, they're going to lose. FDR had the right idea. We need economic policy. Conservatives claim the problem is big government. I say the problem is big corporations who want to control the government by paying off politicians through campaign financing and by lobbying to get rid of regulations. The tail is wagging the dog. Well said, J.D. in Sherman, Texas. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. If you'd like to participate in the program, you can drop in TomHartmanShow.com or TomHartman.com and follow the links to the show. We've got a message board there. There's a live chat room during the show. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson and engineered by Shar Jones in Detroit. Shar does such a great job. Thank you so much, Shar. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us. Tune back in on Monday, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal,
Talk. We talk ostrich, about what you do to your animals whale, and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z.